Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we speak with Isaac Lee, the Continuing Education Program Manager for Truett Seminary's Sport and Faith Institute. Before coming to Truett, Isaac employed his passion for Jesus Christ and sports as a sports ministry leader with Athletes in Action. Isaac is now a pivotal team member working on the 4th Global Congress at Baylor University set for this summer. We're really excited to speak to Isaac about his life, his work, and about the Congress. So let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have Isaac Lee with us today on the podcast. Isaac, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It's good to be here. Yeah, sport. My dad grew up in Malaysia, and so he loved badminton. I know in the South it's called badminton, so that's a little bit different. But because of that reality, he threw me into sport at the age of 5. And so at a very young age, I learned how to play badminton through his tutelage. And over the course of time, enjoyed and appreciated that sport. But I grew to enjoy more team sports later on in life. And so though I played single sports or a single type sport in badminton, I gravitated towards volleyball, basketball, soccer, all sorts of different sports, eventually playing hockey and slow pitch and anything I could get my hand on. And so sports has been a major part of my life, and I love viewing it, participating in it, and being part of it. Currently, as I think about sport, sport is more just running after my kids on the playground than anything else.
We've been through those phases. That's great. And Brian, we got to make a note. I don't think we've had a badminton enthusiast or badminton specialist on the show before, have we?
We have not, and I'm a big fan. So I love all racket paddle sports, but badminton's my favorite by far. I used to play with a competitive badmintoner when I lived in Virginia. It was great fun. It's a very challenging sport and quite different than all the other racket sports.
We'll have to explore that, I think, in just a minute. But Isaac, tell us a little bit about faith in your life now.
Certainly. As I think about my journey of faith, again, started around the same age I started badminton. Around the age of 5 is when I recall just sitting with my mom, thinking about the times we have gone to church and the message of Jesus. And it was in that moment where I just asked her, what does it look like to have that faith in Jesus? And accepted Christ at that young age. But over the course of time, as I think for many people, not really sure of what that means to live out a life of faith. And so to make it my own, it was more my parents' faith, growing up in a Christian household, going to church, doing what good Christian boys should do when they grew up. But when it came to leaving the confines of my parents' faith and venturing out into the world, that's when faith becomes a whole lot more challenging. And actually, and if you might want to say that prodigal son experience of walking away from God and seeing what life was like outside of the confines of faith, that's something that I found attractive and interesting. But as I did that, I found that life was just futile. It led to no joys, no hope. And by the grace of God, he brought me back one day as I sat in church and was convicted as I saw a father baptize a son and see that incredible embrace of a father baptizing a son and knowing deep in my heart that I had ran away from my Heavenly Father and I needed to come back to him. And that's when things started to take off for me and my faith. And I really became passionate about who God is in my life and that pursuit of Jesus wholeheartedly. And so that's a journey of faith that has meant a lot to me in my 20s and to today as I lead my family.
Well, Isaac, we all heard a lot in there that we would love to continue to hear about. I think your return to the faith is a really interesting process that we'd like to maybe dig into more as we ask you more questions. I wonder right now, you're from grew up in Malaysia and played badminton. You're already unique enough to our audience, or at least so far in terms of our conversation. Is there something about you that you would say, you know, maybe a hobby, maybe an interest, a place you've been that would help our listeners get to know you?
Certainly. Actually, to bring a bit of a correction. So my dad was born in Malaysia. I actually grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So way up north, where snow abounds right now. And so that might be an interesting component right there, or an aspect of my life. Having played badminton up in Canada, I had the privilege of going to the Arctic Winter Games, which only occurred for those northern regions, and it was fun to be a part of that. And who knew that badminton was a winter sport? I had no idea. And so I played that there and competed, won 2 gold medals and a silver, and so that was definitely a highlight for me. But along that journey of both faith and sports, having been a part of Athletes in Action, I had a privilege of just traveling the whole world and experiencing many ethnic cultures and regions, and learning what faith and sports looks like and viewed in different parts of the world. And so that's been, I think, me a part of my journey, you know, that I am appreciative of, and I love just passing on to others. What does it look like to be in an African continent and be able to think about sports, engage in sports, and pursue God? What does it look like going down to Brazil and think of God and how he wants to impact the church through sports? And so those are experiences in my background that are fairly unique and maybe something that stands out.
Yeah, no doubt. And a great place for us to pick up. You mentioned AIA. And when you got going into that, I wonder, first of all, how you got connected to AIA in the first place. And then when did you think, you know what, this could be a direction for me?
Yeah, certainly. In that journey of faith, I had gone back to school after having gotten a diploma from a polytechnic school. And it was working as a student athletic trainer or therapist in Canada. I was introduced to the Ministry of Athletes in Action through a team meeting. And so I remember just sitting in that, it was actually a wrestling team that I was serving at the time, sitting in a wrestling room with, if you can imagine, the smells of body odor fumigating through the room, standing in the corner, just seeing a couple of Athletes in Action staff present what Athletes in Action is and was. It was intriguing to me. I didn't think much of it at the time, but it wasn't actually until one of the staff at that time, who had noticed me, saw me, and he was a fellow sports therapist or athletic therapist, he reached out to me and befriended me. And it was through that befriending that it brought me onto this journey of discovering this integration or this combination of faith and sports, that there's actually a platform and a way to think about sports differently. And so through that, I became interested in Athletes in Action. I participated as an undergrad in school, but then later on went on tours with Athletes in Action, and then was invited to join Athletes in Action, or consider joining Athletes in Action, which I eventually did. And that's been a real big part of my life as well, and seeing God work in me and through me, being a part of the Athletes in Action ministry.
So tell us a little bit about some of the travels that you've done with Athletes in Action. What was the role that you had? Where were you serving? What brought you all around the world?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. And the very first tour that I went with Athletes in Action was to Serbia for the World University Games, the FISU Games. An incredible opportunity to go into a different region, to meet athletes from across the world, from different universities, but also to be pushed outside of my comfort zone, where I was challenged to actually engage people in spiritual conversations. Growing up as a little boy, I was more on the shy, reserve side. So to see God push me into this more public, engaging context was very challenging. And so as I was at the World University Games in Serbia, it was great to meet students and athletes from across the world, but great to see God grow my faith as well. As he pushed me out and challenged me to take steps of faith, I encountered various athletes. I was able to share the message of Jesus, to engage people in spiritual conversations, and that was an incredible opportunity. Some other memorable opportunities with Athletes in Action were my first tours on staff with the soccer team down to Panama. I remember the heat and the humidity within Panama, and being in that context, and then the opportunity to go to Brazil for the World Cup, in conjunction with the World Cup to serve the church in Brazil, to utilize the sport and the World Cup opportunity to present the gospel. And then maybe the last tour that I was on with Athletes in Action was to Ethiopia, a beautiful country, wonderful context. But that one, there's a lot of stories that come behind that one, but a memorable moment there was as a team, we were able to serve, or we were able to have matches with different club teams in the community. And there was one team in specific who had a disability. They couldn't hear. And they were so privileged to play against us that we embarked on that journey to tell our athletes that, you know what, we want to emulate and sympathize and empathize with what they're going through. So this whole soccer match, we're going to be silent and we're going to compete in silence because they can't hear us and we want to see what it's like to not hear. And so and that was such a deeply spiritual opportunity and an appreciation from the opposing team that we brought them some love and perhaps a bit of dignity that we want to play them and experience life with them. And so that was an amazing trip with Athletes in Action as well.
What a really cool idea. And I like the fact that it's very practical. You can do that in any kind of setting and it's right there. It's a practice. What you get out of it, you're not quite sure. You say, okay, let's try to play this entire game without talking, without communicating through verbally at all. I think that would suit a lot of different sports to attempt that or practice that, particularly in an actual contest, in one where, you know, there are risks. There are reasons to try to play hard and win the game. It would be very interesting to kind of see how that translates. So maybe some of our listeners might take that as an idea that they might implement in another space. You also mentioned being a bit shy about telling your story, which I think a lot of people would resonate with. And even if they grew up, you know, like you did in kind of a Christian environment, and, you know, that's the reluctance to speak that out is pretty transferable. Most folks can think that way. On the flip side of that, we see athletes all the time that use their platform, particularly their moment in their platform, maybe a post-game interview, to really put it out there, right? So Athletes in Action has used a little bit of that one-on-one relational aspect, and it's also used that moment, right? I have you here, and here's your chance. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how both of those methods sort of worked for you, the one-on-one side conversation and standing in front of a large group and having a chance to give your testimony.
Mm-hmm, certainly. I think as you shared that, it brings me back to a book by, I believe it's Robert Coleman, and the Master's Plan of Evangelism, where it tracks and journeys along with how did Jesus disciple his disciples, or how did Jesus embrace ministry? And for a large part, Jesus' model was to do one-on-one discipleship. He had the 3, he had the 12, he had the 70, but also he didn't neglect reaching to the larger population and doing public speeches and sermons. And so as I look about at my ministry background and the opportunities within Athletes in Action, I believe that was a bit of the model as well, that ministry is very relational and can happen sometimes the best when you're one-on-one with somebody. And so if you were to ask me my background and what I love about sports ministry, it is those one-on-one discipleship opportunities. I think that's where I thrive. I think that caters to a bit more the introverted side of who I am. But when it comes to the opportunity to speak the gospel in more public spaces, it's, I think, embracing the life of Jesus as well and saying, you know what, God calls us to enter into those spaces to carry out the Great Commission, not only to make disciples on the one-on-one, but to preach the gospel and make disciples in many other ways. And so the opportunity to stand in front of a team and share the message of Jesus is a bold step, but it is also one you just take a step of faith and you embrace that. And I think that's a biblical model of ministry that we see in Scripture. And I appreciate and applaud many of those athletes who take that bold step to proclaim the gospel, to give all glory and praise to God, because that is an important aspect of their journey and how we can help people know that there's hope in this world, especially within the world of sports, that there's something that bigger than themselves that they can pursue and pursue after. But then when it comes to the ministry model of just journeying alongside one another, that's important as well, that we need to walk alongside those who don't know Jesus as well as those who do, and helping one another grow in our walk with Jesus.
Isaac, after years then of fruitful ministry and Athletes in Action, you find yourself at Baylor. You're wearing a Baylor logo on your shirt today as we talk, and I'm curious about that transition from Athletes in Action, the ministry work you were doing there, to now the work that you're doing at Baylor through the Faith Sports Institute.
Yeah, certainly. Within my journey of Athletes in Action, it was 13 years that was with AIA Canada, and it was a great time there, but I felt a wrestling in my soul that there might be something more for me. Part of my journey is it took me 9 years to accomplish my Master of Divinity. Not sure if I encourage everybody to go 9 years, but it was certainly something I enjoyed. And through that process, at the end of that season of life, something stirred in me towards higher education, towards deeper study in sports and theology. As I investigated the landscape of opportunities, I was drawn to what the Faith and Sport Institute had to offer. And through that journey, had conversations, reached out, and prayed a lot about what it would look like to enter into a higher education space where I can promote this idea of a study of sports and theology across the wide landscape of sport culture. I think there's many who will enter into a seminary who want to do pastoral ministry work or sports ministry work, but I think the idea of understanding sports and theology needs to communicate to a large portion of society as well. And so how can we begin to educate those who have an interest but may not want to pursue a degree of sorts? And so to see that there's an opportunity at the Faith Sport Institute to become the program manager for continuing education was very interesting to me. And as I spoke to my wife, I said, how do you feel about moving to Waco, Texas, from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada? She was excited for the summers, or not the summers, the temperate winters. We're still learning what it looks like to be down here in the summers. But throughout that journey, I think God was faithful and gave me a direction of this is the new journey and path I have for you. To be a part of something that is, in some ways, relatively new and on the forefront. The Faith and Sport Institute has been around for about 13 years, and so I think there's still lots to grow and lots to develop. But now to join this team and to be able to oversee the continuing education program has been a great opportunity to be able to grow in my own education and continue learning in the area of theology and sport, but also to train and develop others. And so that's been a great opportunity to move from discipling athletes on a campus or at a university level or throughout sports to now educating those who can actually begin to do some of that discipleship themselves. I think that's where a transition in my own, if I want to look, personal ministry has changed. Instead of doing direct ministry, to training those for ministry.
Yeah, that seems like a terrific fit for you, given your background and your interests. And I'm wondering, you talked a little bit more about moving from practitioner space into academic space. And I don't know if research is a part of your role now, but I think you're driven by questions and you have questions about sport and theology that run through your mind. I wonder if there are some things that you've observed out in the field or things that you've just pondered that you say, you know what, I really am interested in this aspect of sport and theology or that aspect of sport and theology. What are the questions that drive you?
Mm-hmm. So really the big one that drives me now is this idea of spiritual formation. And what does that look like within athletic spaces? I think within our culture, there's a growing desire and passion for spiritual formation as we look at pastors and authors like John Mark Comer that really has pushed that narrative into church spaces. But within the athletic field, I think there is a great opportunity to see what it looks like to integrate faith and sports in a practical level. And that was a bit of my training with Athletes in Action too, coming from some of the the background of Ultimate Training Camp or National Training Camp and learning that there's ways to integrate faith practically within sports, I think there is a whole realm of possibilities within spiritual formation that we can enter into when we think of some of the classics or novel disciplines. And I love just diving into some of the literature, studying it, and trying to think through how can we help not only athletes, but coaches, those within athletic spaces, especially within our culture, where sports has occupied a large part of our lives. If we are people, men and women of faith, how do we continue to pursue that, even though sometimes sports takes us away from the church, where we are formed in the church? Can we continue to grow in our relationship with God as we're pursuing sports at the same time? And so that aspect of sport and theology is really on the top of my head, and I love studying that and trying to dive in deeper and understand it even more.
So if that's the big picture level of what you're thinking about in your new job, the newish job, what are the more practical aspects? That is, what there might not be a normal day, but what does a day look like? What are you doing day to day? What is the program doing right now? And what's your vision for the program?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, with the Faith and Sport Institute online certificate program, the days in and out are a lot of just trying to think through and envision where are we as a program within the 8 courses that we have, and what are some new courses or new opportunities that we can enter into with in terms of topics or studies or curriculum that we can develop. Within that, again, you heard a little bit of my heart's desire that we can train as many people as possible. Is trying to think of the various spaces and create relationships with programs, institutions, where we can help resource them through our program. 3 times a year we offer our courses in the spring, summer, and fall. And it's in some ways preparing for those sessions, engaging with students during those sessions, and then thinking of how can we improve our program. Both from a curriculum side, but also to a student engagement side. And so those are the things I get to participate. And then here locally within the seminary, there's a lot of fantastic opportunities. I'm excited in the next little while here, in about a month, to offer a youth sports summit and being a part of the organizing committee there to present that and to engage in the conversation of where is youth sport now within our current athletic culture, and how are our parents navigating through that, the challenge of youth sports, but also how are churches and pastors trying to think through this new dynamic of what do we do with the demands of sports nowadays for kids to sometimes step away from their church activities if they want to pursue sports, or even making that decision of do I pursue sports and still be an active member of my church, and all the nuances and challenges and difficulties that come with that. And so that's an exciting opportunity coming up. And then as we will likely talk about here in the summer, to have the Global Congress on Sport and Christianity be here at Baylor University at Truett Seminary with the Faith and Sport Institute, to be a part of the planning committee and organizing committee here has occupied my days as well. It's probably gonna get a whole lot busier as the time nears to us hosting it this July, August.
Well, that was a highly professional segue. Well done. You moved right into a conversation about the Global Congress. And for those that don't know, the Global Congress started back in 2016, another in 19, another in 22, and now the 4th Global Congress will be at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, in August of 2025. And thanks so much, Isaac, for being a part of that planning committee. First, I think you attended the one in Cambridge, the last one in Cambridge. So I wonder, you know, as an attendee, how did that sort of land with you? What did you see in that sort of format? And then, you know, as you think about what the opportunities are at this next Congress, how are you thinking about that in terms of doing the things or meeting some of the goals that you've already talked about?
Yeah, certainly. Cambridge was a fantastic opportunity. When I thought about going to UK and going to Cambridge University, it was a home run for me. Not only that, it was post-COVID and I was itching to travel and see the world. And so to be able to go to the Global Congress, was something new. I had never really considered or heard of it much at that time. I was completely in my role of Athletes in Action, and it was actually my colleague Dave Johns who invited me to the Global Congress. And through that consideration, as I look back at my story, the Global Congress on Sport and Christianity at Cambridge was an inspiration for me to pursue a higher education, or to enter into the space of higher education, to think that there is a place for academics along with practitioners. And so as I think back to that time, not knowing what the Global Congress is about, I entered into it with just an open mindset, wanting to meet people, wanting to learn, wanting to grow, wanting to discover where the study of theology and sport was going or was at. And I was pleasantly surprised when I landed in the UK and joined the many individuals from across the world at this Congress to discover it was a very communal-like atmosphere, meeting individuals like yourselves there, to discovering this whole new world of academics in sports and theology. As a practitioner, in some ways a little bit overwhelming, but at the same time it was inspirational. There was one talk that I think about a lot when I think about my time in sports ministry, but also my time in higher education. It was from Dr. Ashley Knoll in his keynote speech and his conversation about the anthropocentric aspect of sports ministry versus the Christocentric aspect of sports ministry really struck a nerve in my life and my walk in sports ministry as a practitioner, in that perhaps my journey was too much focus on the person and not on Christ. And that challenged me to say, okay, there is a need for some academic thinking and theology when it comes to sports ministry and practitioners. And so to gain those relationships, to have those conversations, was life-giving for me. And for any Spark practitioners or sports ministry workers hearing this, I highly encourage you to come join us this summer. You'll be inspired, challenged, but you'll also develop some amazing relationships with people from across the world, locally here in the U.S. and in Canada and North America, but also have wisdom from those across the world coming and joining us. And so as I look to this time and this summer, I'm excited. I'm excited to welcome people to Waco. I'm excited to welcome people to the Baylor University campus, Truett Seminary, but also to have the Faith and Sport Institute partner alongside the fourth Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. I'm excited for the number of papers and presentations that are being submitted right now, to see the different themes and topics being covered. I'm excited to engage sports ministry and practitioners, to invite those to come and to present as well, because I think there's lots that we can learn within the academic space on how and what sports ministry looks like on the ground, and how practitioners are thinking and processing theology and sport and some of the challenges that they're encountering, but also to see academics show their chops and be able to do their research and show the ways we can think differently about what we might think of as faith and sports or sports and theology. And so there's lots of great potential, lots of amazing people. So I'm excited for this opportunity this summer.
You have caught and very well articulated the essence of the Global Congresses, which is great. We're so excited about it too, of course. Brian and I are biased. I'm curious if you can share a little bit, give us a little teaser. How is the fourth one going to be different from the others, at least the third one that you've been at? How's this one going to be a little bit different? What's Baylor, what's the FSI going to be doing uniquely that might be especially attractive to someone that might be attending the event?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think that what would be different from the third one to the fourth one. The third one is post-pandemic, and so I think there's a few people a bit afraid to travel that time, though I was very eager to get out of the country and to go see the world. And so we're hoping and praying and thinking that this Global Congress perhaps could be a little bit bigger, a little bit larger, would involve, and we could invite many more from around the world to join us for this opportunity. I think the unique aspects of it being hosted here at Baylor University at Truett Seminary is that to be a part of a R1 institution, Div 1 school, we're trying to enter into this sports and theology space at a high level. And so we're hoping as an institution and a host city and host institution that we can be able to help those see what we're doing in-house here and the aspects of doing deeper study and research in sports and theology. But not only that, I think within the organization and facilitation of this Congress, I know we really hope and that many sports practitioners will join us and that they would be able to present and help us understand more of what happens in practitioner spaces. At the same time, be able to offer an opportunity for academics and those studying it to present their papers. And I think there'll be a great balance and dynamic of having both sides present papers and presentations. And with that, I think a new thing that we're thinking about and processing is what does it look like to have discussion groups or processing groups to actually have conversations about what we're listening to and engaging with. It was fantastic to hear all the presentations in Cambridge. But then I was left with going back to my room, dorm room, or sitting in the green space, pontificating on all that I had processed without engaging in facilitate conversations. And I know this summer we want to create some of those spaces to develop relationships, to maybe even push the boundaries a little bit deeper on what we just heard, to contemplate, to wrestle with, and how we can continue to spur one another on, both as academics and practitioners.
Well, Chad and I at Sport Faith Life are really excited that Baylor University, the Faith and Sport Institute, is taking this on. I think the innovations that you just talked about will add to the richness and just continue the progress that we've been making at the Global Congress. Thank you, Isaac, for your involvement, for your interest, for your enthusiasm. It's been wonderful to get to know you a little better in this process, and we really look forward to connecting with you again in person as we get out to Waco this summer. So thanks so much, and we will see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life. Mm-hmm.